Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is in an upright and locked position, and that you are ready to get weird and think different. Please prepare for takeoff. Today is Thursday. It is January 13th, and we are back with another episode of Destination Different. This year is off to a hot start. I'm happy to say it's off to a hot start. I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling momentum. I'm feeling like 2022 is going to be the biggest year in the history of the Destination Different podcast. Had a great guest last week, Devo Customs, started off the year with a bang, and I've got ideas. I've got excitement. This is the first time in a while now, in a few months, that I do feel reinvigorated, like there is a very crystal clear direction and path of where this podcast is going, of the types of people I want to talk to, of the topics I want to cover, of ways that I can grow it and make it bigger. It's finally, I think, solidifying itself in my brain, if nothing else. It might not work. They might be terrible ideas, but they're at least there. There's a purpose to it that I think hasn't been there over the last year or so, and that has me excited. That has me thinking that there is room for this thing to grow, to build the network, to build the listenership, all of that. I think there's something to it. And so it has me excited. It has me focused. I feel dialed in, like I've got exactly the plan for 2022 with the Destination Different podcast. This might be January talking. This might be New Year's resolutions, calendar turning over to a new year. Maybe that's all it is. But there's something exciting about what I want to do this year. With that said, we have guest number two. Two guests for week two of 2022. And it is my goal, it is my mission. I came pretty close last year to have a guest scheduled every single week, you know, not too many solo shows where it's just me. I want to say of the 52 weeks last year, there was 45 interviews, so 7 solo episodes. I'd like to get this to every week an interview, 52 interviews over the course of 2022. So if you know anybody, any entrepreneurs, any creatives, anybody who's starting their own thing, send them my way because I want to make 22 episodes with 52 episodes in 2022 with 52 guests. So send them my way. And let's kick it over to the two guests on this week's show. We have Blake and Alexa. They are the founders of Scrapped. And Scrapped is a beautiful, beautiful business. So Blake and Alexa started Scrapped while they were still in college. While they were seniors at college, they decided, you know, they're really into thrifting. Blake was learning to sew. They have a really great fashion sense and eye. Alexa was a designer and a graphic design major at school. Blake was a business sort of management major. How could they put all of those things together to make some money to do something that they loved? Well, they turned it into Scrapped, which is started out with tote bags. Blake made Alexa a tote bag for Valentine's Day, and the rest, as they say, is history. They started getting into it. They were like, you know, there's something here. These are interesting bags. They're these custom pieces of art, really. And so they started going to this thrift store more and more and picking up fabrics that they liked, picking out t-shirts that they liked. I mean, they're using everything from old shirts to tablecloths to curtains and finding ways to stitch them together and turn them into these awesome one-of-a-kind tote bags. And so they got things up and running. They did their first drop of 15 bags, nearly sold out. And they said, you know what? We're onto something here. There's something in this concept. There's something in these custom one-of-a-kind thrifted tote bags. And so they built it. And they did another drop and another drop and another drop. And over the course of the last year, They've now done 5 drops, sold out drops up to 50 bags at this point. They've built out their own site. They have bigger and better things planned as we head into 2022. More drops, more items, you know, outside of just tote bags, but clothing, other paraphernalia. And it was awesome to get to hear from the two of them. Just as they're a couple, they are just recent college graduates, and they've built this amazing business on the backs of thrifting and upcycling materials and doing something that they are passionate about and that they love. And it was so awesome to get the chance to hear the story of Scrapped, how it started, how they've just built it and kind of flew by the seat of their pants to get it to where it is today. We talked about the amazing marketing efforts they've put in with Alexa kind of managing the Instagram and the look and the feel and the style of the brand, and then Blake managing the TikTok and being a little bit goofier, having some fun, really hopping on trends, building relationships, building community. And their two skill sets together have just perfectly melded to create this one-of-a-kind business. So I am so excited for you to listen to this week's episode of Destination Different with Alexa and Blake, the co-founders of Scrapped. Let's get to it. I hope you enjoy. Did you invent the tote bag?
You feel strongly on this one.
No, I did not. But I do. I have been messing around with that on TikTok lately.
People mad for no reason.
I don't even know why. I kind of just did it as a joke. And then people were commenting, and I was like, this is kind of funny. Like, I'll do a few more. And I don't know, maybe I'll keep doing some more of them. Just, it is what we do. We make tote bags, and we're definitely known for that. So we did not invent it. I'm pretty positive the inventor is LL Bean, which people continue to comment on my posts and tell me that. And I'm like, guys, I know. I promise I know that.
Yeah. How did that even begin to that people really were upset that you claimed to be the inventor of the tote bag?
Yeah.
They're very defensive about their tote bag knowledge.
I think it was two, three weeks ago, I posted the first one, and it was just kind of it was honestly just a joke. Because honestly, a lot of stuff we post on TikTok, a lot of the trend videos are just to be they're just funny or whatever. And that was one. I was like, oh, this is kind of funny. And then it kind of got a little traction. So I was like, I'll do some more of these, because we, like I said, it's what we're known for. So.
And so tell me, let's go back to the beginning a little bit. You mentioned Alexa. You had actually bought this sort of fun furry tote bag. And at what did you guys just look at each other and you're like, we can make this, we can make it better? How did that sort of start to, you were like, you know what, maybe there's a business in this, or maybe there's something that we want to create from this inspiration?
I think it was just kind of the circumstances. I had just gotten this bag in the mail, furry leopard print tote bag. And I walked into Blake's room and he was literally sitting at his desk sewing. And I was just kind of looking at the bag, looking at him. I was like, honestly, I've seen people make these kind of bags on Depop and stuff. This would be a fun, simple project we could start doing. And then it just kind of started snowballing. It could be a business, or we could do it out of thrifty materials. We want to make it more sustainable, if we actually wanted to do this. That was kind of the start of it all.
And you guys are still in college at this point when this is happening. So is this literally a dorm room that you're living in? Were you in an apartment? Where was sort of ground zero if this actually happened?
I wish we took more pictures. Switched rooms, but it's the same house that we're in right now. His other bedroom we started in, he had a little desk. How big is that room?
I did measure it at one point. I want to say it can't be more than like 11, 12 feet, it's 10 by 10 almost, mm-hmm. So, and that it doesn't I have a bed in there, a desk. So you can imagine the floor space isn't very much. And that's literally where we started. Yeah. I was sewing at the first few bags. Eventually we were okay, we got to make a change. But the first few bags, it was me sewing on my desk. Alexa was,
I had a big cutting board. Actually, we started with a small cutting board, literally on the carpet, in the hallway. I couldn't even fit in his room. Yeah. I also had never used a rotary cutter or anything like that before. So, Yeah, I think I cut my finger on the first cut. We were... It was kind of just a mess.
Tell me about that. So, Blake, you're like learning how to sew. How long had you been sewing for? Like, you clearly both had an interest in fashion and, you know, thrifting, but like the actual making of the pieces, like you guys clearly did not have a ton of experience in tote bag making, I assume.
No. So, in November of 2020, it was the first time I like had any experience sewing at all. And then I got my first sewing machine for Christmas. So that December, a month later, and then I started sewing like just after that, just like a little bit, just kind of experimenting with some things here and there. And then the idea came about in February 2021. So what is that, like 4 months later, four months later? So I was pretty new to sewing still, but what happened was we came up with the idea and Valentine's Day was just around the corner, and we planned, was it the day after Valentine's Day or the week after Valentine's Day? We were planning to go to the thrift store.
So it was
really close to Valentine's Day. We were pretty busy because we had school. We were both working too. So we had jobs, school, and we were trying to start this. So we were like, okay, this day we said it, like we marked it on the calendar. We're like, all right, we're gonna go buy the materials at the thrift store,
and we're gonna go to Joann's, and we're gonna buy. Yeah, we like did it all in one day.
Buy the supplies,
because we literally had nothing. We had the sewing machine, and I had nothing. We had no patterns. Also, we just started cutting fabric and sewing. Yeah.
The reason I said Valentine's Day is because that was coming up, and I was like, you know what, we have this idea. I'm like, I want to like experiment for myself. Like, let's do it. And I was like, this would be like a great like additional gift I could give to her for Valentine's Day. So yeah, she's going to get the bag. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make a denim tote bag. And
this is the first
bag.
That's the OG design.
It was his Valentine's Day gift to me. But yeah, original, like there's no lining in it or anything.
I wish I had the scissors.
Cut it with like child scissors.
No, like yeah. I literally, like I'm not even exaggerating. This bag took me at least like 8 to 10 hours to make, and that's not even exaggeration, because
so that kind of discourage you?
No, it encouraged me, because I was like, actually this came out like kind of good, and I had like no, I all I had was a sewing machine, like I had no other supplies. I had some spare denim to make the bag, the material and whatever, but the scissors I was using, they were like child scissors. They were literally this big. They were not cutting through denim, so imagine me like trying to cut through multiple layers of denim with that seam rip, like the stuff. Like it was like I had nothing that I needed to do it, and somehow I made it, and it came out good. And I was like, wait, so this is actually like,
this is possible. Like, you proved you could like do it.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, a few more supplies.
My jaw dropped when I opened it. I was like, oh, he actually did it.
Yeah, and like a few more supplies and some practice, we can really make this happen. And so I guess we really did it.
And yeah. So the next weekend, you guys went out and like bought all like the legit supplies, and you started thinking about it. And how many bags, like, I don't know if they were practice bags still, or if you were actually like making them with the intention of like, all right, we'll make 10 of these and go and try and sell them? Or were you still in the mindset of, all right, let's still practice, let's get the kinks out, let's try and figure out what's going on? Or was it like,
our first bag that we ever cut and made, we sold on our first drop.
Really? Okay.
My friend actually bought it, so she actually has it.
Yeah, which is, I mean, looking back, it's like, we probably maybe should have just done some practice ones, but at the same time, we were like, you know what, we're just going to go for it. And the bags, like, they were made well, like, they weren't, we could check them and make sure they weren't like falling apart, so they were still made pretty well.
I mean, I use this one every single day, and
it's still lasts.
That's like the OG ones.
I would say they were not like as they are. We've definitely made some leaps and bounds on the quality and like just the way they look. Obviously, just the sewing skills
and designs of them.
Yeah, everything. We were like, you know what, we're gonna make, I think we said first 10 bags. And then we started getting like a lot of traction, like kind of just from friends, family. And we were like, you know what, let's do 15. So we said 15, we're going to do 15 bags. I'm trying to even think, did we set ourselves like a date to have it done by?
No, we just kind of were like, once we started,
you're just like knocking them out when you had a free time to, okay, we'll get one done. Like, and just keep plugging away that way.
And I feel like, honestly, at this time, I feel like it's, I don't know if people really were taking us seriously because everyone was like, wait, Blake sews? Didn't they like just start dating and they have like a business together? Everyone was kind of like, I think it was kind of like a meme to some people. Then like I had my cousin make us like a promo video. And I think that kind of got people excited. Everyone was like, oh, okay, they're doing it. And then that kind of launched the drop and we sold everything except one.
Yes. Wait, right? Yeah. So I think that first night we sold
13 out of 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a week later, another one sold. And we were selling on Depop at the time because like we just wanted to get it out there. Everything was kind of just like, which I'm glad we did this way, because I think a lot of the time it's like starting anything, a lot of it's like just analyzing and trying to do it perfectly. And we were like, whatever, we're just gonna do it. Like that's, I feel like, just let's just start. And that's the hardest part. So we didn't, and we want to do it cheaply. Like we didn't want to spend the money. Like, and it was only like, you know, $30 to have a Shopify website, but we were like, no, like we need like as low budget as possible. Like we started with a sewing machine and $400, like between the two of us, it was like 200, 200. And that was like it. So we had the Depop. So one happened to sell on Depop a week later.
Did we put hashtags on our
post? I
think someone like stumbled upon the
like stumbled upon it. Yeah.
That. Yeah. And then we had like our Instagram,
one of my favorite things that I heard about your kind of founding story, Alexa, you just sort of like one day went out and were like, this is the name, you secured the Instagram handle and it was just like done.
Yeah. I like kind of remember sitting on the couch with you at my old house. We were sitting there and I was like, so I've been trying to come up with names, but this is the only one I've come up with, Scrap. And you're like, well, maybe we should like keep thinking. And then I was like, I don't care what he says. But I just made the Instagram. I was like, yeah, this is our Instagram. If you really want to change it, you can change it.
Yeah. No, that's the exact story. Cause I was just like, yeah, I did like the name. I was like, that's a good name. But I was like, well, like, I don't think we should just pick the first one that comes to mind. Like, let's have some options.
Oh, I like to
pick. But we didn't have any options. So, and I'm happy with the name now. Yeah, we didn't even come up with another option, I don't think.
There wasn't really a discussion about it.
It's so funny because it's one of my favorite questions to like ask entrepreneurs is like, how did you come up with the name? And it's probably like a dead 50-50 split where there are people like you who are first thing that comes into your head, boom, done, let's go. And then there's the other half that is like, yeah, we came up with 200 names and we tested every single one. We asked friends and family and like they made 12 designs. Style. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That's really
funny. I'm not much of a brainstormer.
But it's literally like a 50-50 split of going both ways. So that first drop, you know, obviously you guys are kind of like, was it mostly friends and family who are jumping on this? Like, how did you start to set pricing on some of these things and like, you know, advertise that you're, hey, we're selling on Depop. It sounds like you made a promo video, but was there any sort of, you know, what was sort of the businessy side of that first drop, or were you really just like figuring it out on the fly?
We're kind of figuring it out on the fly. We tried to figure out like a price range and like what determines a price for us. But at the time, like the bags were kind of taking us a long time to make because we were still learning and stuff. So I think we decided on like the price range from like $40 to $60, which we felt like was kind of a lot. We're like, I don't know if people trust us enough to like pay that much for a bag yet. But our friends and family were very supportive and they basically bought out pretty much the entire drop.
We had
a couple random people or people we didn't really know very well, which was kind of shocking. Like random people I hadn't talked to in years were buying from our first drop.
Mm-hmm.
They did definitely, yeah.
Yeah, the price point thing jumped around a lot. Cause when we first started, we were like, okay, like what, like just what comes to mind is like, okay, like a fair price for a tote bag is probably like, the first thing I think we said was like $35.
Yeah, we're like $35.
Cause like that is like, you know, if you're gonna buy a tote bag, it's probably like, okay, that's $35. But then we were like, okay, wait, we're like making these ourselves and they take like a good amount of time to make. Like if anyone else is doing this, they'd be selling it for a lot more. And obviously we like now our prices are higher, but that's because like we've like perfected it. Mm-hmm. And like they're actually well, like we can consider them to be much better made than the first drop.
Very confident.
So again huge shout out to everybody who did buy bags for our first drop, because since then the quality has gone up, the price was lower and everything, but we just had a ton of support on that first drop, which was awesome.
When I went out with Izzy last night, she was using her original Scraps bag and like it's like fraying inside. And I was like, oh girl, we can like line it for you or something.
It's like double vintage. It's like, you know, it's vintage and it's also the OG of your run.
I know. Yeah, and they also don't have tags on them.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Our first job, none of the bags have tags. So I don't know. Something I wish we kind of jumped on a little bit earlier, because now these people have no proof that they have an original scratch bag.
Oh, they got proof somehow.
Somehow. Yeah, they're Depop.
The Depop receipt. So once you guys have that success, though, on the first drop, like, are you immediately in the mode of, all right, we can really do this. This is like, we're onto something here. People like this, like, and thinking about how to scale it? Or what were your next thoughts once you sort of did that first, I don't want to call it experimental drop, but kind of like, you know, you're sort of feeling it out still. Like, how did you proceed from there?
Yeah, that was, we really had like no idea what to expect. So like, you know, kind of how typical drop goes, you know, you set the time that the website's going to open. So we had the Depops like in our drafts. So at, I think it was 6 o'clock, I was just like posting them like one at a time, like as quickly as I could.
So all the 15 go up as close to the same time as you could possibly, but that was definitely a challenge. So I think for our, like once this drop was over, our next step was definitely to get on a website.
Yeah. But no, I was going to say is that it was like unbelievable. Cause again, like we had no idea what to expect. Like the bag, like people were buying bags in the first like 30 seconds of like us posting them, which
like before we, like, even all the bags were like posted. So I was like, oh,
and we were like, sold, like I'm like still pushing posts and I'm getting notifications like, oh, you just got a sale. And I was like, this is actually,
it was a really crazy feeling.
It was a crazy
feeling.
We had
no idea what to expect. We had good feedback, but I don't know.
Yeah. Like I was kind of expecting like post it, I guess. I mean, like, again, you know, we never did it. We were like kind of mind blown. And I think it was those first, what, like 12, 13 bags sold out within the first like 10 minutes, even then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like fair really to say? Maybe like 10 to 30 minutes, somewhere mm-hmm. in that range.
Yeah, quick though. They went quick. Yeah.
It was way quicker than I think. I don't even know if we were expecting to go that quick.
What now?
Like, that was part of the reason we did it on Depop, was because we were like, okay, we don't really have a lot of like traffic driving to like a website. Like, we have, you know, 200 followers on Instagram and who knows, whatever on TikTok, like, you know, maybe we could sell them, maybe we can't, I don't know. So Depop like kind of, you know, sorts your stuff for you. You can come across some random customers. So that was part of our thing behind it. And we didn't really even have to rely on that at all. So that was like, mm-hmm. like she said, like, we're like, okay, we can definitely jump to a website now.
So that was the next
step, and then we're really, like
scaling
for sure. And you know, like it was a lot of friends and family on that drop. So we were like, okay, we did that. We got a few people that we haven't maybe talked to in a while or whatever. And it's like, okay, so people like this, how can we like do better, I guess? And yeah, how can we scale it? And I think we had, that was March. So we had graduation coming up in like 2 months. So we were like, okay, we kind of can start, but we have to kind of take it slow. Cause like we had to finish up,
mm-hmm.
Like we had
damn school
like
getting in the way,
finals and work and this. So like
this is when I started skimping out on school hard. I was like, cause it was all on Zoom anyway. So I was like, I'll turn my camera off. I'll cut it back. So I literally started doing our classes.
Oh yeah. We did do some classes in like when we were making bags.
We also forgot to mention, in this time, we actually moved to my garage
mm-hmm.
to work.
Upgraded to a bigger space.
Which was
life changing.
Which was probably after like three to five bags.
Yeah, we only had gone like through five bags and we're like, okay, yeah, this isn't gonna work out. I'm literally getting stepped on in the hallway.
Yeah. And yeah, luckily
back, like literally on my knees.
Yeah, seriously. Luckily the house that she lived at with her roommates, they had like a pretty big garage that wasn't really being used at the time. So we used like a part of it. I mean, I guess a good amount of it, which was really nice at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since then, we've now transferred to half of my garage at the house that I live in.
Because I ended up moving to an apartment. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So from one garage to, from a bedroom to a garage to a different garage in the last year.
A lot of different spaces. And having that bigger space, is it so you can have more like thrifted items, more scraps of fabric on hand, you have more space to sew? Like, is that kind of the benefit of the bigger
space? We have these shelves that we stack all of our materials on and stuff. And when it was in his room, we were like very limited to what we could buy. Like it was piling up.
It was madness. I know I have a picture somewhere. I gotta find it.
It was
insane at the time. It was brutal.
But I had big shelves in my garage, so that was one of the reasons we moved there. And I needed a big table to cut on. Kind of the bigger the table, the better it is, because it's just you know, it's hard to be confined to a small space.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so over the course of the last year, you guys have done what, 5 of these, like, you know, separate drops now. As you started getting into it, how did you, it sounds like there was a pretty clear delineation between, you know, Blake, what you were working on, Alexa, what you were working on, and like kind of how the roles and responsibilities of like running a company were managed. Like, how did you guys talk about that, or did it literally just sort of fall into place based on what you're good at?
Kind of both.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, it was kind of both. Like, obviously, so I graduated with like business management degree, so technically, like, my interest is already kind of in that side.
But we both had a hobby for fashion.
Yeah, and exactly. Interest. And at the time, I knew how to sew, she didn't. So it was like we kind of knew like what we were good at, and then we were like, okay, for now, like, let's do like. The thing was, she's gonna cut, like, design the bags, I'm gonna sew them, and then, like, at the time, I guess, like, there hasn't really been too much of like a business side of it. Like, there are some things,
like financial,
like, stuff. I guess, like, financial type stuff, or like now, like, setting up, like, you know, we've set up like our bank account, and like just doing like some of the behind the scenes, like legal stuff, which was like, I had no experience with, but like I had to figure it out, and it was like kind of obnoxious, but whatever, we got it figured out.
For the people like, listening, is that like setting up a LLC, or like, what is like the legal stuff that goes into starting a business like this?
So we got like a business license as well as like a DBA. So like basically like also known as like a fictitious business name. So we can like get run by that. We currently do not have like an LLC. That's probably maybe like a goal maybe for like this year or something, just cause like at the time, like the cost of an LLC in California, I think is like $700-800 for the year. I'm pretty sure. Which is quite a lot, especially, like I said, we started off with $400 total. So that is like double.
Make the leap for that.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, like we're trying to build up like from the ground. Mm-hmm. Like our goal was take this $400, put it into this first drop, take that money, put it into the next drop, and just so on and so on. And maybe like put in some additional money as we can, going into the future. But that was the start, but sorry, getting back to the question, like with the other legal stuff, what else? I mean, I think that was pretty much like just the bulk of it, but it honestly was like quite confusing for me. And like the leaps in, like just getting like the DBA fictitious business name was like, you have to like get yourself published in like a newspaper, which is like it's 2021. Like, who's reading the news? You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like
yeah.
Like, like, I don't know how to publish in a newspaper. Like, I've never even like read a newspaper.
I forgot about that.
Which it's just like, it's a funny system that's kind of still going on. Like, it actually was not that hard. It was just like, I had to read and kind of do some research. And it was also just a little bit of me being like nervous, like, yo, like, are we going to get in trouble for like selling this? Like, if this brand does well in a couple of years from now, like, is someone gonna come back to this and be like, yo, you guys didn't have this set up right in the beginning, so now you're getting fined or something? So I was like just trying to read up and watch videos and be like, am I doing this right? And honestly, I'm still hoping that I did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know.
It is always, it's like a crazy thing, because I've, you know, now talked to a lot of entrepreneurs who are, you know, artists and creatives and people who are like, there's a whole other world to setting up a business that is not like the fun stuff that you see on the internet. It's like all this like nitty gritty that you're like, you don't think about that stuff.
No, I that was something that kind of came up, and I was like, oh, I guess, all right, so I'll look into this. It can't take that long. And it took long. Like, that was part of some of the things in the beginning. I think our first drop on Depop, part of it was, again, also was like, I don't know. I don't know like the legalities of all this stuff. But I'm pretty sure like you can kind of, you know, anyone can really sell on Depop. So we were like, okay, we'll start there too, because I think that kind of covers us. Because like they take taxes out, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then getting into the website, going into like our next drop, which was kind of falling up around the time like post-graduation, that was when I really looked into all of these things. Cause I was like, whatever, let's just do this drop. Let's have the fun. Let's do it. And then after, like, I'll look into all the other details, which mm-hmm. took up a bulk of our time during that period. So, mm-hmm. You know, it was a little bit of a grind, and there's probably some still some things I got to learn, but I think we're good for now.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good to know. And so as you went into those later drops, it sounds like you scaled up in terms of the volume and the number of products, maybe to even just level set for the people listening, like very, very base level. I feel like we haven't talked about like what it is that you're actually doing. The act of like going to a thrift store, buying sort of secondhand clothing or fabric, or, I mean, you guys have made stuff with curtains. You like, there's so many different items. So tell me a little bit about that process of like, where does it go from, I've got an idea or I want to do something, to here's the finished bag that you can actually use.
Yeah. I'll let Alexa start with that one, cause that's kind of her specialty. So
yeah. So kind of like our roles. I graduated with a degree in design. So I've always been into like, so I do like the logos and all the graphics and stuff like that. But yeah, I like to do a lot of the sourcing at the thrift store and stuff. So I think when we first started, I kind of started more with ideas in my head and then tried to find materials that would like look good with that design I had in my head, like different panels or different like camo pieces. So I would like go look for specific stuff. But now I kind of have a better idea of what I like and what I don't. So I kind of just go to the thrift store with an open mind and go through like all their linens, all their curtains, table runners, tablecloths, t-shirts and stuff. And I grab what I like the feel of, like the material, and also just like the designs I like. So I kind of, search for those unique pieces. And I really like the table runners. We really like those big tapestry blankets, which we didn't do that really at the beginning. Those are like newer things we've picked up. And so I definitely like go.
Did we do table runners early? I feel like we didn't do that early on.
No, that was like when we started with our second drop too. So it kind of became more of like, oh, now we know what we like to look for. So I do that. And then, I collect, every time I go, I usually get like a good amount of stuff, come back and throw in the washing machine and then get it all folded. And then, I try to collect a lot of like plain color tablecloths and curtains and stuff, just because we need those linings for every bag. So that's kind of, that can be like a hard part, is like if I find a good material, but I can't find like a lining that matches it. So I definitely try to stock up on that stuff. But so we have like a, like stacks of like the plain colors and then all of our fun stuff. And then my process is kind of like going for the fun stuff and then finding the lining that kind of matches with it, deciding if I want the straps to be made with the lining or with the outside material. If I want to add a pocket, little details such as like sometimes I take like the fringe off the end of like the blankets and put it around the bag.
Okay. Do you find yourself
going to
do you find yourself like gravitating towards a certain style or a certain type of fabric? You said you like the table runners, but like looking at your bags, you guys have some stuff that's like not more straightforward, but it's maybe like one tone, one fabric, you know, look. And then you've got other stuff that's like, all right, it's got a graphic of Woody or R2-D2 on it, and then it's like colored on the other side. Like it's kind of like, you know, spans the spectrum. Like, do you find yourself liking one more than the other to make?
I don't know. Yeah, I do like making the fun bags a lot, but I do try to incorporate a lot of more like toned down regular tote bags as well, just because we try to make stuff for like everyone's style. There's basically a bag for everyone, and I really try my hardest to make sure there is. But I personally love the fun bags. I love the crazy colors and cool designs. I love the Disney stuff, characters. So I'm very drawn to making those kind of bags.
I'll just add that I think something that we try, like, obviously, a lot of our bags are pretty like loud, like there's like a lot going on, and I think that's what kind of like makes us unique, and that's why people like kind of gravitate towards us. So that's something that I think we'll probably, you know, like going forward, that's something that we want to have. Like, it's unique. Like, when do you see like, a Buzz, like Woody bag like that? Or we had like a Drop 2, which is one of our like favorite drops. We had like a Sriracha bag, which was like super cool. Like, it was just so unique. But then at the same time, also, I guess, I'm going all over the place, but also that's part of the reason why we make a lot of our bags reversible too. So for example, if you had like
a Harley Davidson bag with some crazy snake or something on the front, we make it so it's reversible, so that like, let's say it has like a black lining, you also get a plain black tote bag.
So you could kind of tone it down. But then even outside of that, we'll still have like maybe just like I guess like last job, we had like a denim bag, which is like a sunflower pocket, which was, you know, it still kind of had like that pop of something, but it was like a denim bag. So it was kind of like toned down a little bit. I think it's just a little bit of like a balance. And then also just kind of, we try to listen to kind of a little bit what people say, maybe like in comments or whatever. Not too much, but like if people are really like saying like the same thing over and over and over again, we'll be like, okay, probably people like this, but we learned that you kind of have to you have to push some of the comments out, because like sometimes people just say stuff and even though they're not actually interested, I think we learned that like really, really early on.
Some people will like give their opinion, but I'm like, were you even gonna buy from us in the first place?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, you're like, never gonna buy a bag, but they're just like throwing out ideas.
You should make it with a zipper and with this. I'm like, okay, so if we do that, you're gonna buy it.
Yeah.
You're like, no, but it's cool. I'm like, yeah, it is cool.
But yeah, I think adding the reversible aspect to not every single bag, it is usually pretty clean on the inside that it can be, but like making that reversible aspect makes it a little bit more like versatile, so you can you don't have to, you know, have the loudest, craziest tote bag on at all times, which is
makes
cool.
sense. And do you have, maybe this is not, you know, you've now done five, or you're coming up on your sixth drop, have you started to think about it all right, if we're going to do 50 bags, we're going to have 10 that are kind of denim themed, we're going to have 10 that are character, like, do you break it down like that, or is it truly like, here's what we found at the thrift store, this is what's going into this drop?
It's very much like whatever I found is what's going in the drop, but at the same time I do like to include like a certain amount of stuff, like a certain amount of Harley bags, like the Harley Davidson tote bags. I try to like make a good amount of those for every job, just because I know those are like a fan favorite. But those are, once again, those are something that we are able to stock up on. But the other stuff is kind of like unique, one of one stuff I found at the thrift store.
Yeah. I think once we kind of like, maybe like have our fabrics, like we do have a good amount of stuff now. So we kind of like think about, I guess there's a little bit of that, like, but not too much, like maybe with like those knot bags with like the little snaps, like those ones. And we're like, okay, let's get a few more of these on this drop, or like something like that, or let's do more of this, let's do more bags with pockets, or let's try to do, or like, let's do a better job of trying to find more table, like maybe like just starting at the sourcing spot, we'll be like, okay, we really, really like these, so let's try to find more of these, and let's buy like less of this, because like, these are cool, people like them, but maybe it's not as popular as this. It's kind of like kind of that type of thing. But again, it really does all rely on like what we find, which I think is, again, like really, really kind of fun, because going
it's
into
fun
like
for us too.
Yeah, like going
we don't
into
know
a drop,
what we're gonna make today,
we don't know what's gonna be on there. We know we have an idea of some things and maybe the styles and stuff, but like when the drop is finished, we're like, this is it, and like we didn't really plan it in the long run, which is pretty cool. I think it's like, it's just, you know, it's very unique in that way.
Yeah. I saw you guys are now going to start doing like customs commissions. How is that going to work? Like, tell me a little bit more about your plans for that.
So yeah, we are planning on doing that. We plan to do it this month, I believe still. So one of these weekends, we'll probably just make the announcement. We're planning on doing in the beginning, just five customs. I really don't know how popular or not it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be like similar to the bags, like everybody just goes on and it's sold out right away, or if it's going to like take a minute for people to kind of get used to it, which I kind of feel like it might be because we've never really done it. But basically it's just going to be like buying a product on, I think this is the best way for it. And again, it's like, it might be a work in progress. It's going to be like a product on our website. It's going to be like custom scrap bag. You'll be able to add it to your cart, like kind of like normal.
A couple drop downs for you to choose from.
Yeah, like just to kind of like help guide them more than us. It's gonna have like a there's an option for like what kind of material you're gonna have. Is it gonna be like a blanket, a t-shirt, or just like the other? And other could literally be like practically anything. And then that's pretty much it. So basically after that, add it to the cart. And we'll kind of just follow up with like an email. One way we figured out, which is probably the easiest way to at least start the process, is like we'll have just literally send a Google form over, and we have a couple questions on there. Like also tell us like what you want, so we can just get the broad picture and then kind of read through that. If it's pretty straightforward,
how many straps you want,
Yeah. Like,
do you want a pocket?
Yeah. Do you want a pocket?
What size are you going for? They're the ones going to be sending us the material. So it's like, we give them like an option to really describe it however they want. Like, what is the ideal bag? What do you want on the front facing side? Like, they have the opportunity to tell us.
Got it. So the idea is that they would have a cool blanket that they love and they could send you guys that blanket. And then you'd sort of like figure out how to make it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it will be fun. I think it will go pretty smooth, and then we'll just follow up with them after and kind of just work it out. But yeah, we're hoping that it's just like, they're able to kind of just tell us what they want and we're able to just bring that to life.
Would be a good way for people to like to turn like even like sentimental objects or things that they have around their house into like a bag that they can wear out and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so I think this would be like really special for people.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool. It'll be fun.
And then how are you thinking about some of your other innovations, if you will? You know, you guys just dropped sweatshirts in the end of last year. I see you've got the hat on. You guys have done some stuff with the hats as well. how are you thinking about evolving into things beyond just the tote bags? I know it seems like totes are still going to always be kind of like core to the business and always going to be like the foundation, but how are you thinking about expanding in this year?
You want to take that or do you want me to take it?
You can take it because I don't know what I should say.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just say, yeah, pretty much the plan is like, we've kind of just been, you know, we've experimented. We're just having fun with it at the end of the day. And I think we're kind of now really starting to dive into like what we're like, we've done hoodies and like we did hats. Like, this was pretty early on. We did some of that.
Drop too.
Yeah. Which was fun. And I'm glad we did it. The hoodies also pretty cool. Like, we still have we still have some available and whatnot. But I think we're trying to now is like really hone in and focus in on like what kind of like got us here and like what our like big picture plan is. Like, we kind of just had like all these like talks and stuff like recently, just like, what do we really want to do? Like, we've had some success over the last year. Like, we literally hit like 100,000 followers on TikTok, which is pretty crazy. You know, and now it's like, okay, like, what do we actually want to do? So basically bags, of course, that's going to be like a focal point for a while, maybe like potentially like for forever. Tote bags has been a big thing. One thing with bags is we want to kind of diversify into just continue making more styles, sizes, and types of bags. It's something that we've kind of been doing over time. Maybe you've seen like just like different like knot bags, and then we have like the little like purse knot bags and that type of thing. We want to do just continue to do more of that. Who knows where that takes us. And then also we want to get into like some clothing as well,
like one of one upcycled pieces, branching off from the bags a little bit, but kind of the same purpose,
same idea, kind of same or similar materials. Like, we did like a hoodie, like screen printed hoodie, that type of stuff. But this is going to be more of like making like jackets and like hoodies and things like that are going to be made from like maybe like a quilt or a blanket or maybe just like some patchwork denim or corduroy or who knows, like whatever we kind of come up with. And I think that's really what we're trying to push more towards like this year. Is getting into like more clothing and stuff as well. Cause I think it's just something that we've wanted to do since the beginning. We weren't really necessarily sure how to do it. And we were like, okay, we're still new. Like, let's just focus on like what works and, you know, build our community, our following that way. And now we're just going to slowly kind of build off and do that type of stuff, which I think we're really, really excited about that. I don't know.
We have some projects lined up.
Mm-hmm. But, I don't know if I want to say too much on
just
it.
Just in case.
Just in case. But definitely be in the lookout for like some more pieces like that, which is going to be fun because they're going to be like one of one.
Yeah.
Maybe some matching bags with them too.
Yeah, which will be cool.
All right. I like that. Is there a like dream piece of fabric or character or something that you're like, just been on the hunt for that you're like, if I could find a Donald Duck blanket, I'm making it up, but like something like that you're like just dying to make into a bag or a shirt or a hoodie? Like, is there anything that you're really looking for?
I feel like I've checked a lot of the like characters and stuff off my bucket list. Like, we did a Tweety Bird, which is like my That
was good. Yeah.
Thing we did a Tweety Bird bag, and I think that's kind of how we gained a lot of traction because people like were obsessed with that bag,
mm-hmm.
rightfully so. And then we also did Toy Story bags, which was also kind of a dream come true. But we finally got our hands on some Star Wars stuff, which people were really requesting from us. So when I saw it at the thrift store, I got very excited to do that. Done Winnie the Pooh, which I love. I'm always on the lookout for that.
I would like to get more Tweety Bird stuff.
Yeah, I would love to do more Tweety Bird, more like Looney Tunes. We did like other Looney Tunes back.
I think one thing people have been asking a lot about Spider-Man recently.
Yeah, Avengers bags.
Which we should, and Avengers bags. So that's something that would be cool. I think we will try to look out for more on, or just in general. We were busy with the drop and stuff, but it would have been smart if we had like, even if it was just one bag.
No Way Home.
But if bags. We had like a Spider-Man bag that was coming out around the same time as the movie. So maybe if in the future, maybe this year we'll be better with planning things like that. Like, I guess even there's the Buzz movie coming out. Like maybe that would have been smarter to have the Buzz bag come out around that time. Just kind of to play into like pop culture and whatnot. So maybe we'll be better.
Buzz movie.
Yeah. So maybe we'll be better with that this year. Like maybe we'll check our calendars a little bit more.
And maybe we should have Harry Potter bags for the freaking reunion.
Yeah. Like just
I am on the lookout for Harry Potter stuff. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. So I kind of want to do bags that are like representative of like each house. I think that'd be really cool.
See, that's cool though. Like you guys kind of get the opportunity, even the Harley Davidson thing that you said, like that everybody's super into those, that you guys kind of get to tap into these like other iconic brands and sort of put your own spin on them. Are there are there other brands that you're looking to collaborate with or other artists? Like, is that something that you're kind of thinking about as like a marketing, in a way, like a marketing tactic?
Yeah. I mean, it's something we've talked about, I guess quite a bit, I would say. I think now at this point, I don't know. I think that we're definitely not opposed to it. For sure. I don't know if I want to make it like one of our focuses just because still like it's unfortunately like our time is just so limited as of now because like we both have to work part-time still and then we're doing this, so it's almost like I feel like we just get a little bit more bang for our buck like with our time if we're able to just kind of give it all to us, whereas like if we're communicating back and forth, unfortunately it's just like it's very time consuming. It's definitely something that we don't like, that we're not against it at all, that's for sure. I don't know if there's anybody like that we're necessarily proactively reaching, reaching out to or anything right now.
We have reached out to like certain brands, like kind of saying, hey, if you have like mess ups, t-shirts or blankets or whatnot, like give it to us. Let's do like a collab. We haven't really gone through with anything like that, but that's definitely an idea we've had.
That's cool though. I like that.
Yeah. I think that will like, even, you know, maybe we'll do some more of that, but I don't know if it'll be anything like super big, at least for the time being, but you know, like literally tomorrow morning we can get an email and then that changes, so who knows.
That's true. No, our things change like every day.
Yeah,
if you could make a bag for anybody, who would you make a bag for?
I know the answer.
What's your answer?
Well, I know what your answer is going to be, so that's probably mine too, because it'd be pretty big, right?
What do you say?
Like Emma Chamberlain.
Yeah.
If we get Emma Chamberlain to wear a scrapped bag, that would be
that's peak. All right,
that would be iconic.
The way for fashion pretty much for every girl in the world, so
that would definitely change
take is a tag on her Instagram for wearing a scrapped bag, and we'd have everyone in the world lined up.
Yeah That would be a game changer for sure.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Emma Chamberlain. We'll clip this. Send it to Emma Chamberlain. We'll make sure she gets this. How else do you guys have, like, I mean, it's so impressive what you've built with this like community on Instagram and TikTok. Like, how do you sort of think about the marketing of Scrapped and the sort of brand that you're building online? Cause it is crazy. Like, you know, just the interest that you guys have had, and you guys do such a good job of like churning out content day after day after day. How do you sort of think about the marketing approach?
This is all him.
Yeah. So this is actually something that I have not stopped talking about.
We have meetings
probably,
every night about
probably
this.
Since like the beginning, but something that I've definitely been talking about a lot more recently. And that's just because like, so hopefully not to get like too drawn out or anything. You know, TikTok is like a very interesting platform. It kind of has its own source, like its own type of content you're supposed to put on there. So kind of just starting off, we were just like, you know what, we're just going to take this serious. I'm just going to like hop on every single trend, bring it somehow back to tote bags or what we've made, or, you know, you kind of, you
pretty much use everything as an excuse to talk about our brand.
Yeah.
Like all trends, everything.
Everything. And it has worked, but I am kind of maybe trying to make like some type of shift, just because we've like built like this following like slash community now. And so now it's like something that I'm like, I don't know almost like what type of content I should continue to put out. So one thing I know is we're really going to continue on like the bag, like making the bags and stuff like that. That's something we want to make a focal point. And then there's like, obviously I have some fun with like the trend videos. I think people enjoy them, but in the past I definitely have, I don't know if getting carried away is the right word, but it's like, I don't know if I need to post like 6 videos every single day of me like making some tote bag memes. I think I might tone it down a little bit on that, and kind of just focus in on more like actually making some quality content. I think that's kind of like a little bit more of like the future of it. But hey, we got here somehow and people have enjoyed it. So I am definitely grateful. And we did something right. I'm just not really sure what we did right, if that makes sense. So, you know, the tote bag, like memes and ridiculous videos, they will still be around for sure, but maybe just some better ones. A little less misses, hopefully.
I think it's like you've kind of nailed TikTok right on the head of like, it is part jumping on trends and memes and those kind of formats. And then it's part like just sort of documenting your day to day of here's how we made this bag out of a Woody blanket. Like it's kind of a cool combo of those things. And then it's funny because like the Instagram is very much sort of has this like vintage retro, like a little bit more curated vibe.
So I do
like,
that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I can see the, you know, there's a little yin and yang in the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think then like, you know, like I said, TikTok's its own little thing. So we kind of have some fun over there, mess around. But then like, if you like truly are like a little bit more interested, you dive a little bit deeper, you go to like our Instagram, you're like, okay, so like this is actually,
they actually have a
brand, and like they kind of like they're actually like doing something, not just like making videos joking around every day. So I think there is like some balance to it, because like obviously we don't want to take it like too over the top serious, because for one, like I just don't think that's who we are. Like I think we just, you know, in general, just with the brand, like we're making like bags out of Woody blankets. Like we can't take ourselves like too serious. You know what I mean? Like just have some fun with it. I don't know. And then also a little bit of seriousness to it. Like, but you know, not too much. Don't want to bore people out.
So no, I think you guys have struck. I think you've struck the perfect balance. How do you right now sort of structure your days? Like, is it, maybe I'll leave it at that. Like how do you sort of set up your schedule so that you can, you know, you guys both do work, part-time jobs, and you're also doing this. So how do you manage your time? It's always a question I have for people running their own businesses, especially when they're doing other stuff on the side too. Like how do you make the time and sort of organize what you're doing with Scrapped?
We try to make our plan like every morning or the night before.
We've gotten a lot better with that. I think
honestly, we're going with the flow too much and it just wasn't really working.
For sure. The short answer is honestly, it's been hectic. And that is like just straight up honest. Like it's been wild, but like she said, yeah, we do a little bit, in the past we've done a little bit too much of like go with the flow. I mean, we do have like some things like, okay, here's like a deadline. Like this is what we're trying to drop. Like let's make this happen. But with the day to day, we recently have been like either the night before or like the day of, we're like, okay, this is like what we need to, these are like the priorities. If we get that stuff done, like it's a good day. So like, let's make that happen. So that's something we're trying to do more of, because like it's exhausting. Like Monday through Thursday, I'm at work. I work from like 7 to 1. And then after that, it's like time for like Scrapped, like whether it's videos or making stuff. And then her schedule
varies. He has a very structured schedule. Me, I'm a server. So every day looks different to me.
Which is its own balance.
But then sometimes I have times where I like literally have 4 days off. And so when he's at work, I wake up and I cut bags all day long, get them all ready for him, or, you know, I'll send out some Instagram stuff, start some TikToks. So yeah, it kind of varies every day, but so that's kind of why we have to plan like the night before and be like, oh, well, I've worked till this time. And then when we get home, we want to go live. We want to sew at least one bag, get to bed by this time.
Yeah. Like I think, yeah, we've definitely like starting off this year, we're like, that was like a big goal of ours. I think it's just be more structured because like even just last year, like just starting off, we really didn't know where it was going to take us. Which I think was fine. Like we started it just like the hardest part's just starting. So we were happy to just start and be like, wow, we're selling bags. Okay, let's just keep going. But now we're like, okay, so we clearly can sell them. So like, let's be more structured. So we kind of made like a plan and some goals for like the year overall. Like we kind of have like some target dates for drops and like some things like that, which are definitely going to vary. Like that's just bound to happen. But at least we're structured that way. And now we're kind of just taking it like really like one drop at a time, like one day at a time, one week at a time. We kind of have all that a little bit more structured out now, which I think is just going to like cut down on like our stress and anxiety. Cause like every day it's almost like we kind of we're going into it. Like, I don't even know like what we're trying to get done today. Like I would just go to work, come home. I'd be like, all right, I got to make some TikToks and then I'm just going to go sew. And it's like, I think it was a productive day. I don't know. I'm going to bed and I have to start it up tomorrow. So like, it was just kind of like, go, go, go.
Yeah, but setting deadlines far enough in advance, like we're trying to do now. Yeah. It's like, actually feels like we're working towards something, not just trying to get stuff done and then being like, okay, I guess we could probably do a drop around this time because we have this many bags done.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting a real much, much better now. You know, it's always going to be a work in progress, but a lot better.
Yeah. You guys have actually set a little bit of like a calendar of, okay, this year is going to roughly look like this. And then that probably helps you plan the day to day too.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, a little long term and then kind of bring it back short term.
Yeah.
Helps a lot.
And I assume that your goal is to ultimately be able to do this full time for the both of you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. For all right. Sure. And I do always like asking this question because I've interviewed a few people now that you guys are not just business partners, but you are also a couple. So how has that been of the, you know, managing the business relationship with like your personal relationship?
Again, like everything else, it's been a balance, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes we do kind of have to cut off the work and be like, okay, like now we can be a couple.
Well, it's hard too, because it's like, yeah, like, cause you know, obviously those, everything like kind of overlaps.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, sometimes we just have to like make it like, be like, all right, we need to like switch this off. But like, also it's a big part of our life. So even when we're just like hanging out, it's still like a conversation, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be like feel like work. Super serious. It's more of just like, yeah, just like.
But even when we're working throughout the day, like, we're still having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't really take away too much, but yeah, it is. It can be difficult to balance because you don't have to set time apart for each thing.
Yeah, like the life and the like work side of things.
Yeah, and like we also both work or we live with our friends and stuff, so then that's like another thing on top of it is like making sure we see them.
yeah, just like honestly, just like everything. Like there's always, even from the very start, there's always just been so much going on. It was like school, work and the brand, and now it's like just luckily the brand and work, but there's still like everything else that it goes on and on in life too, so it's, there's a lot, but you know, it just, I think as we're getting better and better with everything, so
yeah.
All right, cool. All right, I have just a few more questions for you guys. I'll give you my rapid fire here to close up. So okay, first, describe to me what a tote bag motherfucker would be.
It would be
someone who makes wearing a tote bag their personality trait. No matter what's in it, they're wearing it, and they want everyone to know that they're wearing it, and they are actually better than you because they're wearing it.
That's the best description. That's it. Yeah.
Wow. That I like that a lot. How many tote bags all time have you made and then been like, oh, I need to keep this for myself? Like, have there been any that you've just totally fallen in love with and you're like, we can't sell this?
Yes, but we always sell.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but we always get rid of them.
The only bag I have is,
unfortunately, we keep telling ourselves we're gonna make some for ourselves, but then we make it and we go, this somebody else would like this, would really like this too. So like, yeah, yeah, I'll leave it at that. We need to make more for ourselves.
No, that is like a goal for sure.
All right. We talked about that before. You guys needed actually put yourself in a real newspaper. So let's say hypothetically you get a big full page ad in the New York Times printed out. What would the New York Times ad say from Scrapped?
Wow. like from their perspective, or what would we want it to
say? What would you want it to say? You guys get to create the ad.
Oh man. It'd probably be something around like how this like Los Angeles
college students
how these Los Angeles college students turned tote bags into like the trend of like, I don't know, like the decade or something like that. Like, honestly, that's probably like how it would be. I think, yeah, actually that worked. I think that works.
Okay. I like that.
That was
like
a tough one. That was a tough one. I've never thought of that before.
We workshopped our way into it. All right. What's your biggest mess up or mistake that you've made in running this business so far?
Was it the bag from the last drop, you think?
Yeah.
Was there something more than that?
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, you're right.
Was there anything else or no?
I
would say, yeah, so last drop we had a bag that we made, and this is the first time this has happened, but we ended up making it right. So we had a bag, and we make the bag, we kind of check the quality. If there's anything like not there, obviously we'll either just not sell it overall, or maybe like figure out what it is and kind of go back and fix it. This bag had the material wasn't right. It was going to probably come apart, and we checked it. It was fine. But then before we ship them out, we kind of do like a double check because, you know, just extra quality. And we were like, this bag is, we can't give this to this person. So we shipped it to them, sent them a long note, emailed them, said, hey, here's the bag. We gave it to you still. We don't feel right selling it to you for this. So like, can we just make you do you want us to make you another bag, or we'll just refund you fully, keep the bag, whatever. And they were really nice about it. They said, we'll take a new bag. They wanted just a random bag. They said, you guys can make whatever you want. So we made them we made it in the past. It's like a cherry bag. We make green straps.
Yeah, green straps, like cherries
on it. And we sent them a second bag to follow up. So it all worked out. But that was one that was like, we can't give them a poor quality.
It was more
bag.
Of like, our opinion, trying to make it right on our ends before anyone else says anything.
Yeah,
That kind of comes down to like why we need to be so picky about the materials we pick out. So it was just like a learning lesson for things to like look out for.
For sure.
Okay. I like that. All right. And then my last question. So I end every episode of this show with the sign off of stay weird. So you both have to tell me what makes you weird.
Oh God.
Oh man. What makes me weird? I'll try to keep it maybe around the brand. I don't know. I don't know. What makes you weird?
Maybe you can answer about each other. What makes the other person like weird?
I don't know. Let's think for a second. What makes me weird?
He looks really goofy when he makes all those TikTok trends and he runs around his room with 3x speed trying to put out TikToks for this brand, and I have to sit on the bed and watch.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it pretty weird.
That does make
me. And I'm like, I don't think a lot of girlfriends have to deal with
this. That does make me weird.
What do I do? I don't know.
For you, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not weird.
No, you got, yeah. I would just say, like, honestly, maybe, like, just in general, I mean, we're spending the majority of our days in our dimly lit garage. Or in my dimly lit garage, I guess, sewing bags, sometimes just in pure silence.
Or like we go all day and don't talk to anyone else.
Don't like talk to that. Just literally don't communicate with the outside world for like a full day because we're stuck in the damn garage.
Is a wrap. on this week's episode of Destination Different. I need a tote bag. I didn't know I needed a tote bag, but I need a tote bag. Blake and Alexa, what they're making, what they're building with Scrapped is one of a kind. It is amazing. I loved hearing their story. I love the fact that they were college students and started this in their apartment and have now, you know, didn't really know what they're doing and is now built into this legitimate business. And it is just so cool to see young entrepreneurs, creatives, building something out of what they love and creating this community around tote bags of all things, around upcycled tote bags. And it's amazing. You know, what they're doing is not only good for fashion, for style, but it's also good for the environment and the fact that they're reusing materials. And I just love it all. I love the whole story. I love the two of them. Their energy was infectious. Their kind of bantering back and forth was amazing. They are just awesome. So if you want to follow along with Scrapped, we'll make sure they get we get everything linked up here in the description of the show. But it's pretty much scrapped.co across all social media, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, you name it. You can find them there. And we'll make sure to get that linked up. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to Alexa and Blake for coming on this week's show. I'm excited. I'm excited for them. I think a big year is coming to that crew, to the Scrapped crew in 22. That's all I got for this week. If you remember, last week I put a little Easter egg here in the end. I said, if you're still listening at the very end of an hour podcast, to text me or Instagram DM me and say that I'm still here, that I'm still listening. You're part of the late crew. Guess how many people did it? Guess. Did you guess? One person messaged me. I want you to be listening all the way to the end, till the credits roll, till the final music plays. It's a banger of a song. Checo, Superpowers. You have to listen all the way to the end. I beg of you. So please, if you're still here, if you're still listening, we'll run it back again this week. Text me, DM me, tweet at me. I'm still here. I'm still listening. That's all I want to know. And with that, we will bring this one to an end. Week two, 2022, Destination Different. We're going for it. We're going for the record. We're going for 52 episodes, 52 interviews in 52 weeks this year. I hope that I can do it. If you know people, if you are one of these people, message me. I want to interview you. I want to talk to you on this show. That's it. That's a wrap. We'll be back again next week, next Thursday, with another episode of Destination Different. Until then, stay weird.
Superpowers. We fell in love for just a couple hours. I can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's been missing. Often I'm misunderstood, so I'm looking for a better me. This is your love song, baby. I hope that you know the words. This is your love song.